Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bowmansville Mennonite Church and Youth Sunday. And we're going to begin with a song, Come Now is a Time to Worship. And during that song, we're going to lift the offering. The offering this morning is for Nate and Magali Sensenig, half of it, and the other half is going towards the Youth Ministry Fund. Youth Ministry Fund helps to cover the expenses that don't all get covered by the youth paying their way to go places. So invite the ushers to come forward and lift the offering. We also have the My Coins Count for the Children. And today, if you go over beside the piano, it's on the floor level.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give.
It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God.
Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose.
Join me in our prayer for our offering. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of us who willingly came here this morning, Lord. Thank you for these tithes and offerings, and we ask a blessing upon them as they go out to the Sensenig family and to the youth ministries, Lord, that they would be used to honor you and to spread your word throughout this world. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
So in January, the youth group went on guy-girl retreat, guys to one place and girls to the other. And on Saturday afternoon, the girls got some pictures from the guys. They were apparently trying to blow up some things that guys do. While the girls were playing some word games, we were honing our communication skills. So it's just kind of notable the difference between them. But when I told Ken about it, he said, don't worry, if you need something blown up, you know who to call. So communication is important, and the words that we say, we know that the words we say are important. But we don't only communicate by our words. We can also communicate with our hands.
So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to try some hand communication without any words, okay? So if there's someone nearby you, you can start with a handshake. Just communicate someone else's presence. You can do a high five when there's a great accomplishment. Try high five. Or you can do a fist bump to say something was cool when you relate to that. You guys are supposed to do this quietly. And then sometimes we just make a fist at God and say, why are you doing this to me? That's another way we communicate with our hands. Sometimes we stick our hands in our pockets and just like don't care what God is saying to us. And just today as we begin this next song, I just invite you to open your hands to say, God, I receive what you have for me. Psalm 63:3-4 says, Lord, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you, and I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Thirsty. blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze is fixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. I know that my Redeemer liveth on the earth. Again shall stand. He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life He giveth, that grace and power are in. Never fail, the word He speaks, it cannot die. Though cruel death my flesh assaileth, and I shall see Him by and by. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand.
Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Lauren Haller, and I'll be sharing what the youth group has been doing since December. On December 12th, we went Christmas caroling. It was a good evening to chat with some of you, and we enjoyed Starbucks afterwards to warm up. We celebrated New Year's Eve at Brian and Renee's house. We had a movie theme, so we had a lot of fun dressing up as different characters. And we also enjoyed a ping pong tournament and a white elephant gift exchange. From January 4th to 6th, we had our annual guy-girl weekend. The girls went to Lakewood Getaway in Moton. We had a relaxing weekend that included games, puzzles, nail painting, a hot tub, and lots of laughs. The guys spent the weekend at Brian's cabin in Juniata. I'm not exactly sure what they did, but I know they shot and ate squirrels, so there you go. On the 12th, we went to a walk through the Bible event where we learned simple hand signs to remember the stories of the Bible. And then on the 26th, we went to a Hershey Bears game, which they won. February 3rd was our Super Bowl party. It was a very disappointing game, especially for us Rams fans, but We had a good evening hanging out and playing games anyway. Thanks to Kirvin and Mary Ringler for hosting us. The 16th was our annual Valentine's banquet. This is our biggest fundraiser each year, and we thank you so much for supporting us and spending the evening with us. We hope you had as much fun as we did and took some inspiration home with you. Also, thank you to everyone who helped out in some way with the Valentine's banquet, whether donating something that we could borrow or keep, or donating your time. Thank you for that. We couldn't do it without you. From March 1st to 3rd, we spent the weekend at Camp Andrews on our spiritual life retreat. Friday night, we did some icebreakers that were focused on getting us out of our comfort zone in a good way. And then we had free time and a few hours in the gym. On Saturday, we had two sessions led by Kelly Martin, in addition to whole group and small group prayer times. And we also had free time and time in the gym on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, Brian led the session. And as a part of the session, we took time to identify and write down gifts and positive things that we see in each other so that we would each have our own encouraging paper to hold on to and take with us. And thank you to Kirvin and Mary Ringler and Ammon and Christine Martin for cooking delicious food for us over the weekend. At recent Bible studies, a few of the things we talked about are homosexuality, good habits to establish in our lives, and the difference between a rut and a groove. And just another note, in case you weren't at the Valentine's banquet when we announced it, our summer service project this year will be July 14 to 20 in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we don't have much information yet, but we'll most likely be doing home repairs, various home repairs. Thank you for your prayers and support, and please continue to pray for us as we plan upcoming events, including our summer service project.
Good morning, everybody. Last week marked the end of another quizzing season, so I'd like to take a minute here and recognize some of you who quiz. So first, Bowmansville, the guys team, Bowmansville 2. Now, there was 5 members of that team, and 4 of them are not here this morning. So we're just going to, I'll say who they are. It was Dan Wanazin, John and Jacob Null, and they're all, I think they're at church where Bob went before. I'm getting some nods. Yeah, so they're at that church this morning. And Doug was also a part of that team, Doug Becker. And he's not here because he's with a class trip slash service project, I think, in Jamaica with Hinkletown. And the member that is here, Joel, would you stand up, please? Just wave to everybody. So the guys' team didn't have a whole lot of success in terms of wins and losses, but quizzing, I've heard this said, and it's so true, quizzing is never a loss. You're spending time learning about God, learning about the Bible, and memorizing things, and spending time fellowshipping with others, and yeah, it's just, you can't lose when you quiz, so thanks, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to applause, cheer, holler, or hoot at any time, at any and all times during the next few minutes. Quizzers and coaches, when I call your name, please stand up and remain standing until everyone has been introduced. Hailing from Bowmansville, Pennsylvania, the most senior member of the team, Lightning Lauren! She's one half of the brilliant Brubacher sisters from Lambert Road, Narvon. Second word, Savannah. Also from Lambert Road, she completes the brilliant Brubacher sisters, the queen of every situation, Situation Sierra. And from the small town of Terry Hill, contributing in a big way, the rookie, Emerging Emma. And last but not least, she also hails from Terry Hill, PA, another rookie, Magnificent Maggie. Coached by two retired quizzing veterans, Captain Colin Musser, and that name synonymous with Bible quizzing everywhere, Awesome Audrey. Ladies and gentlemen, bringing that trophy all the way home from Bellefontaine, Ohio, your 2019 ACC Bible Quizzing Invitational Tournament champions, Bowmansville One. Okay, thank you guys. Now that I'm thoroughly embarrassed. Again, thanks for spending time in God's Word and getting that printed on your hearts. So thanks a lot, guys. I think there's a name I forgot to mention. Brett. Thank you, Brett, for coaching the guys' team. Okay, so the children can come front for a children's message, and I would like, if you're a child, to come front, or if you're in junior youth, I'd like if you'd come front too, at least for a portion of this. And Shane and Dwight, you guys can come front too. Great. Well, I'm glad to see you guys here this morning. It's important for me that I get to know you guys. So I'd like to give you guys all my name. My name is Brian. Some of you guys know that, but I'm Brian. I'm the youth pastor. The guy behind you is known to some as PL. That's Pastor Larry. He's the lead pastor, and Tony's around here somewhere. He's the associate pastor. But my name's Brian, so I want to know you guys. So on the count of three, I want all you guys to say your names to me. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, that didn't really work. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to stick my hand out to you, and I want you to shake it and tell me what your name is. Miles. William. Jesse. Maggie. Emma? Lucy? Jericho? You were thinking of something else, weren't you? Benji? Jansen? Kelly? Rachel? Greta? What? Logan? Dylan? Ella? Okay, great. So now we all know each other. Hopefully, I can remember your names. And hopefully, you can remember my name. So, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like for you guys to get your blood pumping a little bit. Okay? So, in a minute, we're going to stand up and spread out a little bit in a minute. And I want you guys to run in place. So, who knows how to run in place between you guys? Okay, Shane, you want to come up here and demonstrate what it is to run in place? Maybe you can go up there so everyone can see you. Okay, yeah, that's good. Go ahead, have at it. See how he's running? He's lifting his feet and doing everything he would be for regular run, except he ain't going anywhere. He's staying in one place. Okay, do you guys think you can do that? Okay, stand up and just kind of spread around here a little bit. Stay over here, though. Now, wait, when I tell you to start running, I want you to run in place, and we're going to do it for about 20 seconds. Ready? You can watch Shane if you forget how. You ready? Ready, set, go. Very good. Are you getting tired?
No.
No one's really getting anywhere. That's because you're running in place. Good job. Okay, you're about halfway there. Keep going. I hear some heavy breathing. I would be breathing heavy too. Okay, that's good. You can take a break. You can have a seat. You're going to get up in a minute again. So, do you feel like you're a little bit tired? Now, I want to listen. Yeah, I hear some breathing. I hear some heavy breathing. Okay, we're not done yet, though. I want to get your blood pumping a little more. Dwight, I think you know how to do jumping jacks, right?
Sure.
Okay, why don't you go on up there? And now, look, this is how you do a jumping jack, okay? First thing, yeah, see that? You jump, and you put your feet apart, and then you put your hands together over your head, and then you jump again, put your feet together, put your hands back down at your sides. So, everybody stand up and spread out again. Okay, now we're going to do 10 jumping jacks, and I'm going to count, and Dwight's going to lead them, and you guys can count with me if you want. Count out loud. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Very good. Very good. Now, are you tired now? I think I'm tired just from watching you. Is everybody worked up, worked down, whatever you want to say? Okay. So, why don't you guys come on out with the drinks? All right, so I got you guys worked up a pretty good thirst, I think. So you can put them right here by the piano. Okay, so there's a bunch of us here. You guys are going to have to wait till after church for your drinks. But I'm going to send these up to get drinks, say, 3 at a time. And what I want you to do is I want you to stand up here, pick what drink you want. We got some red and yellow belly wash, and we got some water. Okay, so I want you to get your drink and then just give your empty cup here to Ryan and then get down and have a seat so the next group of 3 can get up and get a drink, all right? While you're getting your drink and everyone else, listen to what I'm going to say. Okay, you 3, let's see, we got Miles, William, and Jesse. You guys can come up and get your drinks a while. So when you're really thirsty, like really, really dry, wow, they're all going for the water. When you're really, really dry, what's the best thing to drink? What do you like the best? Water. That's right. Water is the best thing. But what else is good to drink? Okay, you guys can have a seat. Yeah, juice is good. What kind of juice? Next 3, you guys can come up and get your drink. Wait a minute. It's Maggie, Emma, and help me out. Becker. Lucy. Yeah, you guys come on up and get your drink. So what else? Someone said juice. What kind of juice? You like grape juice. I like grape juice, too. Anybody else? What else is really good to drink? Okay, Jericho, Benji, and Jansen, you guys can get a drink. Anybody else? How about lemonade? When I was probably you guys' age or a little older, I used to go to my grandpa and grandma's house, and she made lemonade. And it wasn't the kind of lemonade that made your lips suck together. It was good. I think she added a lot of sugar. Okay, Kaylee, Rachel, and what's your name again? Greta, you guys can come up and get a drink now. So, but somebody said it earlier, when we're really thirsty, what is the best thing for us?
Water.
Water, yep. Okay, the last 3, you guys can come up and get your drink. Water's the best thing for us. And we know that because God created our bodies, and He made us thirsty or not thirsty, but when we're really thirsty, water's the best thing for us, and we know that because water's what is in the creeks, and when Tony or Zane pokes a hole in the ground for a well, what do they find? Lemonade? Iced tea?
Water.
No, they find water. That's right. That's what God put here in the earth for us to drink. All right, so when you're really thirsty, red and yellow belly wash is pretty good, but apparently not as good as water because all the water is gone. Good job, parents. They're choosing water. All right. So anyway, these other drinks can be good when you're thirsty, but when you're really thirsty, water's the best thing for you. Okay, so you can go back and have a seat back with your parents. You guys can take that out back and then have a seat. I was going to use this to muffle my voice a little bit for the quizzing introductions, but I didn't know if it would mess the microphone up, so this can just be an object lesson. This is a cup. Okay, so when we're really thirsty, God really knows what we need. So I'd like to start out by reading from, or by having Dan read from Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to skip around a little bit. We're going to read from chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to switch to 15 and 17. And then to wrap it all up, we're going to go to Genesis 3. And Dan's going to read verses 1 to 7. So when you're ready, you can follow along. Dan, when you're ready, you can read Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 8.
Okay, Genesis 2, verse 8 to 9. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now down to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now chapter 3. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Thanks for reading that, Dan. Thank you, Dan. And thanks for all the youth. It's so encouraging to see young people using their gifts that God gave them to do the instruments and all the reading and the everything. I'm glad that you guys are willing to use those gifts. So what Dan read in Genesis shows us that Adam and Eve were living in the garden and they had everything that they could ever need or want provided to them by God. But Adam and Eve weren't alone in the garden. The serpent was in there too. And the serpent used to live in a situation where God provided for him too. You see, he used to be an angel. And sin got in the way of that, and he was cast out. So he's looking around on the earth, and he sees these two new creatures, Adam and Eve, two new human beings. And he goes over to try to deceive them, and he uses the fruit from the knowledge, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to do that. And it worked. So that's the first time the serpent deceived mankind, the first of many, many more to come. And the serpent has gotten better and better and better and got more and more tricks up his sleeves over the years of cups that he offers us that are not the cup that God would have for us. So I want to talk about a few of those cups this morning. So one of those cups is the cup of material possessions, stuff, gathering stuff. For me, it's guns. I like to collect guns. Some guys work on cars and dirt bikes or whatever. I get into guns. I like getting a gun and taking it apart and cleaning it and polishing all the inside parts up and making it work nice and smooth. That's what I like to do. For some people, it's money. For other people, it's electronics. I know stuff seems to be electronics really fall in that stuff category these days. So just to give you a few numbers about stuff and how easy it is to gather meaningless material possessions, versus important things. In 1950, if you were to buy a house, it would cost roughly what you made in a year. So theoretically, if you had two good years and you saved every penny you owned, you could go buy a house. While in 2018, it takes three good years. So you can see that it's a little bit harder to buy a house today than it was in 1950. And same thing with a car. When you buy a house, you need a car because you need to be able to get back and forth to work to make payments on your house. So a car is a pretty important thing too. Again, in 1950, a new car costed a little bit less than half of what you would make in an average year. It was 45% of your average income. Today, a car costs, or in 2018 anyway, a car costs a little more than half of the average income. Today, a car costs about 57% of the average income. So, let me say, in 2 years ago, the youth group went to Detroit. We went with MDS, and the people at the MDS base said to us, don't judge the people who you're going to work on their homes. They may live in rundown homes or project housing or something like that, and you're going to see like the latest stuff. You're going to see the latest electronics, the nicest clothes, and some of the volunteers that come have a tendency to judge people like, well, if you wouldn't buy that, you'd be able to buy a better house. And they told us that what they're doing is it gives them some dignity to have these things, even though they can't afford it. They feel like a house or a reliable car is unattainable, but it gives them a little bit of dignity to have these things. At least that's the way they feel about it. So in the current economy, you can see that it's very easy to be distracted from life-giving water that God has for us because of the accumulation of stuff. It's so much easier to accumulate this meaningless stuff right now in this economy. So another cup that the serpent tries to distract us with is the cup of relationships that are apart from what God would have the relationships to be. So this seems like kind of an odd thing, but spending some time with youth over the last 3 years or so, I realize that relationships are pretty important for teenagers. So this really can be a cup of distraction. And don't get me wrong, there are healthy relationships. But an example of a poor relationship would be when you see your friend in a relationship, and then your other friend and your other friend, and you just decide you want to get in a relationship too because everyone else is. Or if you're dating somebody for a while and it's going and some time passes and you realize that the person that you're with just isn't really interested in Jesus or isn't interested in going to church or anything like that, that would be a relationship outside of what God would have for us for a relationship too. So let's take a look at what God told the Israelites about marrying people who didn't know anything about God. I'm going to read from 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 3. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughters, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway, and he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. So they did. What happened to the kingdom of Israel after Solomon was the king? It was no more. It split, and it wasn't the way it was before him. So all his wives who were not godly women did turn him away from the Lord, just like God said. So relationships outside of what God designed them to be is a cup that is offered to us from the serpent. So I was in a conversation with somebody one time who wasn't a Christian, and they said, the best thing that we can do as a society to move forward is to follow we all have our own moral compass, and we all have this idea of what is right and what is wrong within us. I know what's right for me, so you leave me alone and let me do it. And you know what's right for you, so I'll leave you alone And after talking to them for a while, I suggested that they read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I said, read either one of them. They all say about the same thing. They all report on Jesus' life from different people, from different reporters, so to speak. And they told me that they're not interested in reading that. They said, I already read parts of the Bible, and I see the Bible as a message of hate. And they said, I don't understand how God can value blind obedience over everyone knowing knowledge, knowing what's right, and knowing what you can do. And they were referring to Abraham being ready to kill Isaac. We, as Christians, we see that as an example of what obedience should be. And this person saw that as hate. He was ready to kill his own son. Why wasn't he? Surely he knew within his heart that this ain't the right thing to do. I wonder what Eve would have said if you asked her if she would rather raise her children in an environment of obedience, obedience to God, or an environment of knowledge, the knowledge of what good and evil is. The idea that the answers of what is right and wrong lie within each of us, lie within ourselves, is another one of the lies offered in the cup that the serpent offers us. So, talked about some of the cups that are offered by the serpent, some of the deceptions. So what is in God's cup? Well, God offers himself in his cup. Offers himself as a substitution for accepting the punishment that we deserve for our own sins. And when we drink from God's cup of himself, we also need to drink from the cup of obedience. It is important to be obedient to God. And we can see that it's more important than knowledge and what's going on in some cases. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Little children can't really understand or comprehend why you have to eat 3 meals a day or you have to change your diaper now. You're going to get a diaper rash if you don't change your diaper. If I don't change your diaper. Or why you have to go get a nap right now. They don't understand that. They can't comprehend that. And as parents, we don't always owe them an explanation as to why this happens. You're going to talk till you're blue in the face and they're not going to get it. So it's really hard to obey God through some of the hard times. What about a time when you've been dating the same guy for 8 years? And I know he loves me because we've talked about marriage, and I know we're going to get married someday, and I know he loves me, but you know, he's just not really interested in Jesus. He's not really interested in church. Those are the tough times when we know, through God's teaching, we know what's right. But it can be hard to obey. Another time would be, man, I worked my tail off this year, and Christmas comes, and I got this great big Christmas bonus, and I earned every penny of it. And you open it up, and you start thinking, wow, I've been tithing all year. But if I tithe with this, man, that's a lot of money. I can't afford to do that. Those are times when it's hard, difficult to obey God. For me, I look in my gun cabinet, and I see an empty spot. I see all the Remington pumpers. Now, this isn't true. It'd be kind of cool if it was. But I see all the Remington pumpers ever made, and there's one empty spot. A Model 14 and 35 Remington belongs right there. And I go to a gun show, and I see one at a really good price. And, man, I really want that. And I'm thinking, you know, the next couple Sundays at church, the offering isn't really something that I'm interested in. I don't really think we should be supporting that anyway. So if I take that tithe, man, I could get that Model 14. These things are all things that make it difficult to obey God. We need to drink. When we drink from God's cup, we need to obey. So how do we find the strength to obey Jesus' teachings and give up what we want? Well, The answer is to participate in a faith community. What does that look like? It looks like church, Bible studies, small groups, Christian friends, co-workers, youth group. That's what faith community looks like. So surround yourself with people who hold you accountable to studying God's word and maintaining obedience to God. So I'll finish up with a story. When I go hunting, I've been going to pretty much the same place every year on the Sunday after Thanksgiving since I was 12-ish. And it's a place that my extended family goes. And I want to talk a little bit about my one uncle. I only hunt with one uncle anymore. And so all the guys get up there to hunting camp, and everyone starts unpacking their suitcases and their bags and their coolers. And we all got Mountain Dews and cookies and iced teas and you name it. There's all kinds of good stuff to drink and all kinds of good snacks to eat. So we're all unpacking this and setting it out on the table. And my uncle usually got there later in the day, so we were all settled in. He's a preacher, and so he had to preach, and then he would come up. So he'd get up there later in the day. And when he'd get there, he'd park his car and come on in and walk past all that, all the snacks, all the cookies, all the treats, and he'd get a cup out of the cupboard, and he'd walk back outside, and he'd go to the little mountain stream that flows down beside the cabin, and he'd dip the cup under the stream, under the waterfall, and he'd drink it. And he says, man, that's good water. In hindsight, I think that him liking that water so much might have had something to do with his 70-plus-year-old digestive tract, because it has a certain effect on you. That might help him, but anyway. Just in closing, I'd like to say, a good faith community will help you maintain obedience to God as you drink from His cup of atonement, grace, and love. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for offering yourself to us as a sacrifice for atonement for our sins. And I pray that when we partake of that sacrifice, Lord, that we can obey you, and that we surround ourselves with a faith community that keeps us in line and helps us to do that, helps us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Raising three boys on a farm, there's lots of places that they can drink that they probably shouldn't. And it takes someone older and wiser to explain why you don't do certain things and what things you should do. And I think that in the Christian life, that's also our job as the experienced people, the people that know God, to encourage other people to come drink at the right place.
So have you not heard of that beautiful stream that flows from our it's
stand and together we'll say Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Maybe it's not on the screen. I'll say it.
There it is.
There it is. Lord, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Amen.
So I'd like to offer this parting blessing. God bless you this week as you go in obedience and drink from God's all-fulfilling cup. You're dismissed.